Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. And now I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching, The Prodigal God, from Luke chapter 15. One of the most well-known and poignant stories in the New Testament is the story that we often call the prodigal son. It's a story of defiant independence, of sensual living, desperate need, deep repentance, and full restoration. But you know, it's also a story of ethical living, spiritual pride, an ungrateful spirit, vindictive judgment, and bitterness of soul. Undergirding the whole account is the overflowing magnanimity of the Father. Magnanimity is the best word I could find to describe the Father, because it means the loftiness of spirit that enables a person to disdain meanness and pettiness and to display a noble generosity. To me, that surely describes the Father in this story. In fact, I believe a better title for this story would be The Prodigal God. To be prodigal can be used negatively, as in the case of the younger son, to mean rashly or wastefully extravagant. Or it can be used positively, as of the Father, meaning to give in abundance, lavish, or profuse. And I believe God the Father is truly the focus of this parable, not the wayward son. This story is often used as a complete parable, but it's really not. It's simply part of a larger parable that encompasses the whole 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. There's only one parable, according to verse 3, but it's divided into three scenes, with each scene building upon the one before it. If we take this teaching as Jesus gave it, it will open for us new insights into the loving heart of God and His longing for the lost. In this parable, we'll see several recurring themes. Something is lost, the lost thing is sought for, the lost thing is found, and then there is great rejoicing. And if you watch carefully, I believe you'll see the three persons of the Trinity active in their respective roles. Now, this parable is occasioned by a very specific event. There were large crowds of people flocking to hear Jesus, and among those crowds were the tax collectors and the sinners. Now, because Jesus welcomed sinners and ate with them, the Pharisees disdained him. They referred to him derisively as this man. They equated his willingness to eat with sinners to being of the very same character and tastes. So this interaction between Jesus, the tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees sets the stage for the story Jesus told. I read that story to you now from Luke chapter 15. Because this is such a familiar story, I urge you to listen carefully. You may notice some things you've never seen before. So I read Luke chapter 15 from the New King James Version. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. In this text, Jesus told several stories about lostness in order to demonstrate the magnanimous heart of the prodigal God. The first story is about the lost sheep. Now, in Jesus' day, a person's wealth could be measured in several ways. One way was by the amount of livestock they owned. So a shepherd with 100 sheep was fairly well to do. Jesus asked the crowd what would happen if this man should lose one of his sheep. Today, some people might say, Ah, don't worry about it. It's only one. You still have 99 left. Or perhaps, that one was always wandering off and causing trouble anyway. Let it go. And good riddance. But you know, Jesus' listeners understood the value of a sheep, and they understood his response to that loss. In its own way, the sheep probably knew it was lost. It could no longer hear the shepherd's voice, nor could it see or smell the other sheep. Sheep are creatures of habit. They're followers. but either because he was careless in his grazing or just curious, this one became separated from the other sheep and from the shepherd. As soon as the shepherd realizes the loss, he leaves the other 99 sheep in the wilderness and goes in search of the missing one. Now we need to understand that the wilderness is not a barren wasteland or a place of danger. It's used in the scripture of normal pasture. So the sheep the shepherd left behind are safe. After all, it would be out of his character to place the 99 in danger in order to save the one that was lost. The shepherd, the owner of the sheep, searches for the lost one until he finds it. The task may be quite difficult and dangerous, but that doesn't hold him back. Knowing the danger to the lost sheep probably would have added urgency to finding it. In the shepherd, we see the masculine virtues of courage and enterprise and endurance. When he finds the lost sheep, he doesn't berate it for its foolishness, or handle it roughly, or beat it with a stick. What does he do? He lays it on his shoulders, not shoulder, singular, but shoulders, with rejoicing. Laying a sheep on your shoulders would mean placing it around your neck. That's a place of security, of tenderness, of intimacy, and comfort. As the shepherd returns to his home rejoicing, he immediately calls his friends and neighbors and invites them to rejoice with him. He's elated that he found the sheep before the wild beasts or the birds of prey or some other kind of destruction could claim it. And he wants others to share in his great joy. By contrast, the Pharisees had no joy over repentant sinners. In fact, in their writings, they had a saying like this: "There is joy before God when those who provoke him perish from the world." That doesn't sound quite right. Their words were in direct contradiction to God's message to the prophet Ezekiel. God said he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. So it's easy to see why they had a pinched and lifeless religion. They believed through study and good works they could merit God's approval. And then all who did not meet their level of hypocritical righteousness were condemned in their eyes. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Prodigal God. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Prodigal God. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Prodigal God. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Prodigal God. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.